In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The love of neighbor and the love of God, with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. This is what is before us, laid before us as that great summary of all of the commandments of God. To love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. We get this beautiful summation of all of the commandments of God from a lawyer who has come to test Jesus, who has come to justify himself before the Lord, even knowing all of the law. This lawyer is looking for some way to prove his righteousness so that he can be secure in having a good outcome for eternal life. He's looking for also some limit to that knowledge that he has, that I need to love my neighbor as myself. But he's looking for a limit of the meaning of neighbor. So he asks a somewhat silly question that Christ then answers with the parable that we have before us. And that silly question is, who is my neighbor? He secretly hopes that Jesus will respond that it's only the followers of the law, only those members of the covenant. Surely you can't mean anyone that I meet. However, it's a silly question because the answer is evident even in the word neighbor. In the Greek, it's plesios, which has the literal meaning of the one who is next to me, the one who is close. And the English word neighbor, with its root German cognate of Nachbar, likewise refers to the one who is nigh, the one who is next to me. So even on its face value, he already has the answer. The neighbor is the one who is close to me. There's no other marker there, just close proximity. So the question, who is my neighbor, we could probably actually hear it better if we translate it as the one who is close to me. Who is the one that is close to me? It's a silly sounding question, isn't it? The one who's close to me is the one who's next to me. What more do we need? But often, we ask this same question. We ask, is this really the one that I have to love? Is this really the one who is next to me that I need to treat as though he is myself? So we often are blind. We only sense the presence of another, but we can't identify them. We can't learn how to love them because we don't really desire to. And Jesus, instead of just giving an answer like that, like it's in the word, he gives this parable, which has an evident meaning on a moral level. The law, represented in the Levite, and the prophets, represented in the priest, are insufficient to heal a person. They are good, but unless they take on the fullness of love in the person-to-person interaction, the beaten and half-dead of the world will remain so, unimproved. And so we must learn to love with all the powers that God has given us, of our heart, of our soul, of our strength, and of our mind. The greatest commandment acknowledges that we have these powers, and sometimes some of them are active without the other. So we need to use all of the powers to love somebody, to convert our feeling into the action of love that actually cares for the other. Sometimes we act as though it's good just to have a movement of heart or a movement of soul. But the parable is urging us to act as the Samaritan did, not as the Levite or the priest. He saw, those two saw and were moved in heart and soul by the man's great need, perhaps. They saw him, acknowledged that there was a need, but they made an excuse and moved on. But the Samaritan saw, was moved, and then he used his strength and his mind to participate in that man's healing. He physically lifted him up, put him on his beast of burden, and brought him to an inn. And then he used his mind to know this isn't done, this isn't sufficient. And he planned and secured for the continual help of the one who he had just brought to the innkeeper. And he gave him funds for his care and said, when I return, if you needed to spend more, I'll cover that as well. The Samaritan used all that he had in his heart, in his soul, in his strength, and in his mind to help. And we get that answer from our Lord in the interaction after with the lawyer. Who's the one who loved? It's that one. Go and do likewise, our Lord says. At the basic level, we are called to do this like the Samaritan did for the half-dead man on the side of the road, beaten by the robbers, beaten by the world. The parable doesn't simply stop there in its meaning, though, not just on the physical level of help. The parable stands as a window in how God treats us in the incarnation and through the sacraments of the church that he gives us in the church. The parable stands as a window to those things. How do we know this? Because the great canon of repentance of St. Andrew that we read during Holy Lent calls all of the faithful to identify themselves with that wounded traveler on the side of the road who's left half dead. And the Samaritan, St. Andrew identifies, stands as the place of Jesus himself. St. Andrew places the meaning of this parable into the context of half-dead souls, of whom Christ is taking care to heal. Christ is loving the half-dead soul that we see ourselves as, with all of his heart, with all of his own soul, with all of his strength, and with all of his mind. We go on, many of the fathers look at the parable in this way as standing for the meaning of the church. As almost all of the parables have this secondary meaning. The oil and wine that the Samaritan pour onto the man who's half dead are the acts of mercy that we find within the church where oil and wine are used for the healing of soul and of body. In the sacrament of unction, we see this directly brought to us. And the fathers see in the inn that the Lord brought the sick man, the half-dead man too, as the church that he's brought us to for our own recovery, the place where we can recover, where we can heal, and where he'll return one day and make all things whole as well. And the innkeeper, all the fathers say, stand as the representatives of those clergy and ministries of the church that enact that healing, that continual recovery for each soul. And the coin that the Samaritan gives is what the Lord promised to us in his continual care for the wounded within the place of the healing of the church. These are the promises that our Lord gives to us. There's no closer relation that he could have given us than in his incarnation and the experiencing of him within the walls of the church. The coming of the Son of God in the flesh brought humanity into direct unity with his divinity. That great divide of the others who don't go and love with all of the powers that they have are sundered from that unity. They don't experience it to its fullness. Because in a large way, we need to understand that what Christ did in the incarnation and in giving us the church is that he made us his neighbor. There's no greater divide than that between who God is in his nature and what we are in our humanity. But he said, I don't want that divide. And so he became man and made us his neighbors, uniting human nature with himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That still occurs in the inn that he has brought us to, that is the church. Here we encounter him by word and by sacrament. We may not see him as we see each other, as you see me, but he is present, and his desire is to see us fully healed, and that never wavers. That's the coin that he's deposited and will come and still give us more when he returns. So when we hear the final phrase of the gospel today, go and do likewise, we have at least two ways to move forward. One, take care of the physical need of those who you see with all of the powers that you have. It's so easy to see someone in need and feel moved, but then do nothing for them, right? We see the person on the side of the road with a sign, or whatever the context, we're walking, we see someone who is in need for a little help, perhaps. Not monetary, but physical help, and we don't give it. But if we love somebody with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, then we're preparing to help. We are ready to give something when we see the need. We're praying. We're setting aside some alms. And we're following in the way of our Lord. But it doesn't simply stop there. The greatest invitation that we can do and participate in the same way that our Lord acted is to bring hurting souls to the church. All human beings are our neighbors. Without discrimination, we help. The Samaritans were ones who had nothing to do with the Jews, but that's who the Lord chose to represent himself in this parable. We have our common human nature. Those are those who are close with us. The people next to me, those are the ones who are close. Those are our neighbors. And on that count alone, we bring them. We overcome all of our stations that separate us, our cultural dissimilarities, our differing beliefs, our historical animosities. They're healed here in the church. None of those things take away the fact that this is my neighbor, this human being who is next to me, the one who is in need of mercy, care, compassion, and love with all of the powers that God has given me. That is what Christ is teaching the lawyer there on that day through this parable and teaching us. By fulfilling this command to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves, we care for one another. We become close to him. Our own wounds and the wounds of others in their body or in their soul are healed when we love with all that we have. Then we act as God has acted toward us in the incarnation, giving everything for the sake of the other who needs that mercy. The God who is far beyond us by nature made us his neighbors by taking on our human nature and leaving us the continual presence of the church. This is where he has brought us on his own beast of burden, the cross, and won for us this place. And this is where he takes care of us. It is in this interaction between almsgiving that we join ourselves with Christ and that we learn to love the other and coming and bringing those to the church to find their spiritual healing, the healing of their whole person. This is what's before us. To be one who follows Christ within our very personal lives is one to give all to God and then to love our neighbor with that similar, almost exactly similar strength that we can for the other. We give them to God too, and we bring them to the place where God heals all. This is the great love and meaning of the parable that's before us. To love our neighbor as ourselves is to love with all that we have from all that God has given us. So may we strive in this season as we're right on the cusp of the Nativity Fast, where we look deeply into our almsgiving. We look deeply into where the need might be and where we might fulfill it. Let us look, plan ahead, to use all of our mind and our strength in that movement of looking for how we can spread more of God's love in the reality of this world and bring them to the even greater reality of Jesus Christ in the body that he has won for us, that is the church. Amen.